that is going to be special in the history of the United States for a long time. Truly, America and the world, we need our land healed. Just a few weeks ago in Milwaukee, you saw all of the disturbances and the riots, you have to call them that. We really need our land healed. We really need a touch from God. Amen. And last week was part one, healing our land. And the scripture was, of course, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it was funny. Yesterday, we had the monthly ministers meeting for this section. And Brother Booker, who is the presbyter, the overseer, he said this topic, this exact topic. And he read this exact verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. And so last week, as part of our renewal and revival, we talked about healing the land. And this week, we're going to continue on that topic. And we can tell why the land needs healing. Matthew 24:6. And he shall hear of wars and rumors of war. You know, just this week, North Korea exploded a nuclear bomb testing. That was their fifth one. They're trying to develop a weapon that can reach America. That's their goal. Do you understand that? Do you understand that's what they're doing? They've got the bomb. They just don't have the rocket yet that can reach her. But that is exactly what they're planning to do. They're just going to keep going till they can have a weapon that can reach America. You know, we think it used to be in wars, if you were here, you would be safe. But look at what Jesus said. It says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not, what? Troubled. The bishop last week said, don't panic. Don't panic. For all these things must come to pass. Unfortunately, whoever, it doesn't matter who you vote in, this scripture says that all these things must come to pass. That's why the church shouldn't get too political. See, this is why the church should not get too political. Our hope and our salvation is not going to come in an election. What the scripture teaches us to do is to pray for our leaders. But don't think whoever you vote for is going to change prophecy. Verse 8 says, all these are the beginnings of sorrows. Can you all remember where you were on 2001? September 11th, can you remember where you were? Where were you? Okay. Yeah. Anyone else? Where were you, Sister Janice? Brother Anthony, where were you? Ninth grade. So what did they do? Did they announce it on the... Anyone else, sister? My brain has a mental block. I do know your name. Forgive me, Sister Anita. Amen. Anyone else? Can you remember where you were? Sister Lavinia. Can anyone remember what day it was? It was a Tuesday. It was a Tuesday. I was in a state police station. I was there to give a reference to someone in the church who was who had applied to be a state policeman. So I happened to be in the Michigan State Post at the time when the you know, the planes hit the building. So I was sitting there in the in the offices with the policeman, and he was asking me questions about my friend who had applied to be a state policeman, and they had to have background references. But I could see the monitors in the police station as it was happening. So you were where? You were in art class at school. Yes. Well, of course, when I was, as you said, when that happened, of course, everything stopped. So the interview ended, but I got to stay in the police station, the state police station, and kind of watch everything. I don't know, they forgot I was there or what, but I was able to be there and watch everything on all their monitors of what was going on. You know, and there's days like that in our lives that, stick out that we remember. Maybe some of you are too young to remember, you know, Martin Luther King getting shot, or Kennedy getting shot, or the first space challenger blowing up. But I can remember there are certain dates in your life that you will never forget. There's a date coming. That this world will never forget. It's coming. And it's the kind of date I don't want to remember. If you're remembering it, if you are telling about it, you've missed it. You understand what I'm saying? There's a date coming that's going to be more special than any other of the dates in history so far, save one. In fact, that date, we date history from. If you wanted to give the full date today, it would be September the 11th of the year of our Lord, 2016. That's the full way they date it. So there's a date that from which we date every other event, and that was Jesus' first coming. There is a date that is coming that is going to be just as momentous and as big, and that's going to be His second coming. You don't want to be remembering where you were when that happens. What you want to know is that you're rejoicing when that happens. Amen. Amen. As I said, there are so many dates in each of our lives that stick out. Maybe it was the day you graduated high school. Maybe it was the day you got married. Maybe it was the day you got your first job. And maybe it's these national events that we remember as we grow older, we collect more of them. But there is a date coming. Jesus said that no man knoweth but the Father, not even the angels of heaven. But here's the thing. Nobody could prepare for 9/11, you know. Thousands of people went up into those towers not knowing that that would be their last day. Not knowing that they would never come down from those towers. Here's the difference. This is a date where millions of people have been told it's going to happen. And it's our duty to be prepared for it. Amen. Amen. And that's why this month we're talking about revival and renewal. Last week it was about renewing our land. Hosea chapter 6 verse 2. Has a prophecy. Has a prophecy. It says, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day,
He will raise us up.
See, this is a prophecy of our time. Because the days there are, in my belief, representing what the scripture says, 1,000 years is as one day, and a day as 1,000 years. You see, we are in the 2,000th year of our Lord. It's saying on the third day, He's going to raise us up. We're in the period right now where we should be of revival. And that word revival, revive, actually has to do with the word life. In the Hebrew, it's actually directly related to the word life. It means to be made alive, revived, brought back from the dead. The Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sins. And we need to be revived. We need to be revived. Sometimes we don't like the method God chooses to revive us, but it might save our life. You know, when nothing else works, they get out the electric shock. They get out the paddles, and they grease them up, and they put them on the chest, and they have to put a few thousand volts to shock someone back into life. Maybe some of the things you're going through, God is trying to shock you and say, wake up. The time is drawing near. We don't have a long time. I am firmly believing that. I told you before, whichever way you want to calculate it, the Jubilee year is coming. You can calculate it from 1967 when Israel took back Jerusalem, and you add 50 years to that. You get next year, don't you? You can take 1948, when Israel became a nation, and you can add the 70 years to that, and you get 2018. Now, I'm not setting any dates. All I'm telling you is that we are in the season. Jesus said you wouldn't know the day or the hour, but you'll know the season. If those people who worked in the Twin Towers had known what was going on, none of them would have gone to work that day. There were people who, for whatever reason, did not go to work. Did not go to work because of whatever reason. We have a reason to understand that we should not be working in this world. Because the Twin Towers of this world system is going to be coming down. It's time for us to get serious about serving God. It's time for us to get serious, or else we're going to remember a date we don't want to remember. As I said, September is actually when I did get baptized as well. I believe it was about September 9th. I was 9 years old. And the only reason my dad did it is because, as I told you my story, I called the police on them. I called the police on them because I thought they had gone out and left me not very long, but I don't know, the time started to work on my mind, and I thought the rapture had come. And I thought they were never coming back. And I was smart enough to know that they, you know, I really believed I'd grown up in the church, and I'd been told Jesus is coming back. And so when they didn't come back, when I thought they were, I thought I had been left behind. And I didn't know what to do. I thought, well, I better call the police and let them come and take me because I've missed the rapture. So I called the police on my parents. And I told them they're gone and they're not coming back. See, I knew they wouldn't understand the rapture, even at 8 and a half. I knew they wouldn't understand that. They said, are you sure? And I said, yes. They're not coming back. Just as I hung up the phone, my parents came in. And of course, then the police came. And they had a hard time explaining why their son called the police on them and told them that they were gone and not coming back. But my dad decided at that point, he needs to be baptized. Amen. I'm telling you, we need to get that serious about the time we're living in. The towers of this world are about to collapse. The financial tools that they have to fix things are no longer working. It used to be that when the country went into depression, what the Federal Reserve, the banks would do is they would cut interest rates, and that would boost the economy. But they've run out of being able to do that because the interest rates are already almost as low as they can be. In fact, in Europe, they've had to go to what they call negative interest rates. That means they will give you money. The banks get money to lend money because there's no more tools. There's nothing they can do. This world is on the edge of a collapse. It's time for us to understand we don't have to go to the world's twin towers. And I didn't get up to say that, but I do want you to understand what Jesus said. Perilous times have come. As I said, the word revive in the Hebrew is cheya, and it's really based upon the Hebrew word life. And it really means to bring back. In most times in Scripture, it's just translated to live, to remain alive, sustain life. But it is also translated about six times to revive, to bring back to life. Psalms 85:6. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Isaiah 57:15 says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive, to make alive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This is our season, this month, to really seek God to get close to him. See, we don't know about the future in detail. Nothing is promised to us, you know. We don't know when as I preached some time ago, our number is up. The Bible says, teach me to number my days. And at that message I preached, mine was 21,000 and I forgot all the numbers. But back then it was 21,000 and something. And if you live to be 70, it's about 25,000 and some change. That's all. Doesn't sound like much. You know, when you're 30 years old, you still think you got a long time to go. But you soon find that those days creep up on you. One day we're going to have to give an account for what has been done in this body. That's what the scripture tells us. I don't want to have to come into judgment. The Bible says if we would judge ourselves now, we'll not have to come into judgment. Amen. So I want to be revived. I want to be made alive. I want to be so close to God that there is no crack for the devil to separate. This is the time for us to draw near to God, to be full of his spirit, his power, his anointing. Would you like when you pray, God just answers? Amen. Would you like when you pray, things happen? Would you like when you pray, you just have that assurance? Amen. It's time for us to draw close to God. We want to be revived. We want this church not to be about programs, not to be about shows, but about the spirit of the living God. Because that is what is going to count when everything else is falling apart, is the spirit of the living God. Amen. The spirit of the living God. It says, one of the definitions is to be quickened, made alive, to be restored to life. That's what that word really means when it says revive, to be restored to life. You know, as I said, sometimes the means to do that is not pleasant. You see them pumping on the heart. Person has stopped breathing. They get there and you do one, two, three. You have to do a count. And if that don't work, then they get the mask and then they get the defibrillator and they charge it up and then they shock it. Sometimes God has to get to the extreme to get us to be made back alive, to let us wake up and understand the times and the situations that we are living in. And sometimes we just go through life taking it for granted. See, on Tuesday, September 11, 2001, I was supposed to be flying the very next day. I was supposed to be flying, but of course, you know, they canceled all the flights. And in fact, I had supposed to be in somewhere else, and a good thing I wasn't, because I'd have been trapped wherever I was because they shut down all the flights. So I was so glad that my previous plan had been changed at the last minute. If we will yield ourselves to God, the Bible says He will direct our paths. Order my steps, Lord. Order my steps. It's time for us to understand and have a deep need and desire to get close to God. No matter what else is going on in your life, you need to put that first prayer. Lord, I need to get close to you. I'm telling you, perilous times are coming. Why do we need revival? Why do I need to be revived? I come to church. I worship. I sing. I clap my hands. I pay my tithes and offering. What do I need revival for? Well, here it is. 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That was back then. I'm telling you now, perilous times are here. Perilous times are here. This was a prophecy. We're living in the day and age where that prophecy is fulfilled. Sometimes in America, we get so insulated because we see all the war and destruction over somewhere else. Within the next 3 years, North Korea, if they're not stopped, will be able to send a nuclear weapon directly to America. You won't have to go nowhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? We think because we're here, these things happen somewhere else. But they can happen here too. And the Bible says that it's going to. Here's why perilous times are coming. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. When you see what some people can do to some people, it just fulfills that they have no empathy. They're psychopaths, sociopaths. They have no understanding of what someone else is going through. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means they just can't stop. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. See, there's a bunch of people, and I'm not accusing anyone here. I don't think it's true in this church. But there's a bunch of people, because the Packers are playing at 12 o'clock today, not going to church. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. When I was growing up, you wouldn't want to be in my household. My dad mellowed in his later years, but when I was growing up, we fasted on Christmas. We fasted every public holiday, basically. Christmas, oh, it's a fasting day. We had church fasting. Church. When I was growing up, we went the opposite of whatever the world was doing. If they were partying and feasting, we were fasting and praying. You know, as a child, maybe I didn't like it. But you know, that has been good for me. I am here today because I saw how it could bear fruit. Amen. Now, I'm not against you celebrating the birth of Christ. We all know He wasn't born on Christmas. But there are times when we don't do anything but celebrate. Do we celebrate our Savior? Do we do like He asks us? Do we try and draw near to Him? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I can absolutely bet you that the church attendance in Milwaukee is down today. I can bet you that church attendance on average is down today. Hey, it's the first game of the NFL season, 12 o'clock. Man, I can't miss that. I can catch church later. Why do we need revival? Well, I just gave you one. Perilous times, the scripture said, shall come, but I'm telling you, perilous times are here. Here. There's going to be a time when they're going to tell you to bow down and worship. What you going to do? Are you going to tell Nebuchadnezzar, I'm sorry, Nebuchadnezzar. I don't care what you do, but I'm not going to follow your system. It will come here. It will come to America. There's going to be a time when they will tell you what you can preach. It'll be hate speech if you say some things that go against the community. We take it for granted. But it's time to draw near to God. It's time for us to get serious. See, why we need a revival is because of the times we're living in. They are serious times. It's only every now and then when we have something like 9/11 that people get serious and then they flock to churches for a little bit and get worried and start praying and then it wears off. They go back to doing what they used to do. It's because of the times. Number one, because of the times, we need to be revived. I'll give you another reason. Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. We can't hide from God. We can come here and pretend. We can dress up. But God is telling us, I know thy works. I know what you really are up to. You can't fool me. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. You put in appearance. You come to church. Most people, you go in the street, ask someone, do they believe in God? I'd say 80% say yes. Are you a good person? Everybody's a good person. There's no evil people out there. They're all good people. You go into prison. You ask them, are you a good person? Yeah, I'm a good person. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's what God says, not me. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods. Now, this is not talking materially. What it's talking about is people who claim that they're okay. You're saying, I'm good. I'm covered. I don't need any more church. I'm okay. I don't need to pray anymore. I don't need to fast. I don't need to seek your faith. I'm rich. You can tell that this is spiritual because he said, you are wretched and blind, miserable, poor, and naked. So it's not literal. It's speaking. When they say, I don't need to come to church. I don't need to pray. I can come to church once a week. That's fine. I just need to come at 12 and get 1.5 hours. That does me all the week. That's the Laodicean church. I'm okay. I'm a good person. God is saying you are lukewarm. And I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Who likes lukewarm coffee? You know, you put it down and it get lukewarm. Ugh. Well, God doesn't either. Part-time Christians cannot defeat a full-time devil. Part-time Christians cannot defeat a full-time devil. We need revival because the church has become lukewarm. It's getting quiet. I'm telling you, church, we are living in perilous times. Let me see if I can say this. I'm thinking of saying something, but I don't know how to say it. Here's what I'm going to say to you. The kingdoms of this world have not yet become the kingdoms of our Lord. I just want you to understand that. And I can see things shaping up for a crisis. We need to take our Christianity, our walk with God. We need revival. We need to get desperate with God. We need to really seek Him with our whole heart. We need to stop going through the motions. Church is not a playground. It's not a social event. It's a place to draw close to God. It's a place to really call upon Him with your whole heart. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Again, this was not speaking of material. It was saying that they said, I'm okay. I'm covered. I'm a righteous dude. I'm okay. I don't need your preaching to me. I got this already. God is saying, yeah, you're naked. The emperor has no clothes. You need my righteousness. Your self-righteousness not going to make it. Your self-righteousness isn't going to work. We need revival because the church has become lukewarm. Sister Johnny?
Yes, I was pondering on this scripture, and this is a lot of churches who have not the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Neither have they been baptized the right way into Christ. So that's why it's saying that you say that you're rich and increased with goods, but you have nothing. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit and you have not been washed in the blood, then you are miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked.
Amen. Amen. I think that's generally true, but there's something else in this scripture that scares me. Because you know who this message was to? You know which church this was to? No, it wasn't the Philadelphians. It was the church of Ephesus. This was a Holy Ghost-filled church. This was a church that had been baptized. The seven messages were to seven churches that were churches in the New Testament church. They weren't false churches, right? In Ephesus, it said, you have left your what? Your first love. Here in Laodiceans, it says, you think you're okay, but you're not. So this was not to necessarily denominational churches, though you're right. They don't even have the covering. But this was to churches who were churches, Holy Ghost-filled churches. That's scary. Because he said, you are lukewarm. You are lukewarm. You say you're okay. You think you're doing good because you just come to church on a Sunday. You know, I wouldn't even mind, and that's just me personally, if people didn't come to church just on a Sunday, if on the rest of the days they were working for God, if they were witnessing, if they were praying, if they were fasting, if they were letting the joy of the Lord be their ministry. That's me personally. I can't judge you. I'm just saying. Just saying. But because thou sayest I'm okay, you're actually naked. We need revival because the church is getting lukewarm. And the message actually was not so much to the church, it was to the who? The angel, the messenger of the church. If I don't, as the messenger of the church, every now and then tell you, listen, we got to put on some spiritual clothes. We got to get revived here. We got to get serious. You know what happens? He says, lest I come and what? Remove the candlestick. I don't want God to remove the candlestick. We don't want to be a church that's just a show, that's just a club. Oh no, that's not what we want here. This has got to be a church where the presence of God moves every time we gather, where miracles happen, where praise reports are reported, where the Spirit of God delivers people. And I'm believing that. Amen. So why do we need revival? Well, here's another one. Hebrews 10:25. Some people think, I can stay at home and worship God. Well, that's not what the scripture says. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much more, even more, as you what? See the day approaching. I'm telling you, I see the day approaching. I see the day approaching. And I just can't say certain things yet, but I see the day approaching. When are we going to get serious? It's when we get desperate for God that we will have revival. When we are still lukewarm, when we're looking over our shoulder, pastor's speaking about him, pastor's speaking about her. You know, I've said so many times what T.D. Jakes said, that when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, what did they all say? Every one of them said, is it I? None of them said, well, it's not me. Nobody said, it's not me. They all said, is it I? Because they all knew where they were. Amen. So much more. We should be even more fervent. I tell you this. If God, in a loud voice, announced, okay, Wednesday is the rapture at 5 o'clock. Probably none of us would leave this church, right? We'd be staying here till Wednesday. We'd order in pizza, but we wouldn't leave this church. We'd be praying. We'd be shouting. We'd be desperate. You have to speak into the mic. You know, as you see the day approaching, Well, it says assemble together, Sister Shanita.
I just have a praise report for the Lord. I don't need the crutches anymore. We prayed on Thursday night. I was in so much pain, I could barely walk, and I don't need the crutches.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. It says, not forsaking the assembling as we see the day of prayer. As I said, if God in a loud voice was to give us a date, you know, and it was like Wednesday, we'd all just stay here. At least I would. I don't know about you. I would want to be praying and fasting and making sure. Making my calling and election sure. See, we need revival because the day is approaching. You know that in the next, this month and October, is anyone know what's coming up? What are we waiting for? The Jewish holidays. You all used to know the feast by heart because I used to test you every Sunday. All right, let's hear the feast. Come on now. Start from the beginning. Don't start from the end. What's the first feast? The first appointment. Passover. Jesus became our Passover. That was literally fulfilled when he died on the cross. He was crucified at Passover. And he said, I am the bread. So the second one was unleavened bread. And then on the third day, he did what? Rose again. Just like the scripture in Hosea said, on this third day, he will raise us up to live. Hallelujah. See, he fulfilled the feast of resurrection. And then 50 days later came the one that's the birth of the church, Pentecost. Four of the seven appointments have literally been fulfilled. We're waiting for the last three. We're in between Pentecost and what's the next one? Feast of Trumpets. Because the Bible says that God himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. That's what I don't know what you're waiting for. Don't know why you come to church. But I'm waiting for that date that's going to be bigger than September 11th. Going to be bigger than when Kennedy was assassinated. Bigger than when Martin Luther was. Bigger than July 16th, 1969. Anyone know that date? That's when men landed on the moon. I think 9 years old. No, I must have been a little bit older than that. I remember watching it on a black and white TV when they said, this is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Well, there's coming a giant leap for mankind that's so much bigger than the moon landing. And I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. So much more as you see the day approaching. We're talking about renewal and revival, church. It's time to make sure that you have your oil not only in the vessel, not only in the lamp, but you have the oil in the vessel. Because there's coming a shout very soon, behold, the bridegroom cometh. See, they were all sleeping, the wise and the foolish. See, people think everything's just going to keep on going forever, but it's not. It's not. So how do we experience revival? I've made the case to you that we need revival. So then how do we get revival to happen? How do we experience revival? Well, let me give you this scripture, Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. There's the first steps. That contrite means sorrow, a godly sorrow. In other words, repentance. You want revival. All of us need to repent. All of us. We have to. I have to repent every day. I have to say, Lord, forgive me. All of us need repentance. This is how revival begins. Is first of all, acknowledging that we need God's mercy. We need his grace. We need his love. We cannot make it on our own. It says, a contrite and humble spirit. If you do that, then it says to revive, to make alive. The spirit of the humble. Jesus told the story of the Pharisee and the publican. They both go to the synagogue, to the temple to pray. But the Pharisee, he was looking at all his works. He was looking at how much he fasts, how much he prays. You see, you can do the right thing with the wrong attitude and it is absolutely useless. That's why I don't like churches where they say, okay, who's got $100? Come and stand here and give it to me. You know, that's a show. It may be good to give to God, but that's not really blessing. God, Jesus said you should do in secret. See, to be honest with you, I refuse to give publicly like that. I will not let people, I'm not trying to boast on anyone. Whatever we do, we need to do it as unto the Lord. The Pharisee was telling all the stuff he did. Lord, I pay my tithes. I do this. I'm a good person. I'm a good person. The publican, he knew who he was. He wouldn't even come near. He bowed his head and just said, Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm a sinner. See, when we come to God with a broken and a contrite heart. See, now, I don't know if I put it in this slide, but here's something for you. I think I did. I'll wait till it comes. A contrite, so if we want to experience revival, the first step is repentance. Its first step is acknowledging that we need to be closer to God. We need to understand, like the Laodicean church, that we're naked. That we're not all right. We're not okay. You know, God's blessings and gifts, the Bible said they are without what? Without, just because you're being blessed does not mean you're okay. Do you understand that? It says the gifts and calling of God are what? Without. He sends the rain on the just, on the unjust. So just because you're getting blessed doesn't mean, well, God bless me. I'm blessed, so that means I'm, no. Don't go by material or whatever. No, that's not right. Amen. Just because you're getting blessed temporarily does not mean that that's a stamp of God's approval. That's what the Laodicean church said. I'm okay. I'm rich. I'm doing well. Repentance literally means to turn, is the activity of reviewing one's actions and feeling contrition, contrite, or regret for past wrongs. It generally involves a commitment to personal change and the resolve to live a more responsible and humane life. Psalm 51, it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. Who has prayed for God's blessing in here? Everybody prayed for God's blessings? Everybody prayed for God to break them? Well, good. Most Christians pray to be blessed. Few pray to be broken. Think about it. Because it's a broken and a contrite heart that God is looking for. That's something. Lord, please break me. What about that prayer? Lord, please break me. But that's how you start repentance, is asking God to break you. You know, before a horse can be used, they have to break it. Because the horse don't want nobody to ride it. God wants us to be broken so he can use us. So that he can revive us. There would be no resurrection if there wasn't a death. You know that? If Lazarus hasn't died, there couldn't be that great miracle. Lazarus come forth. He had to be dead first. This flesh has got to be dead before God can use us. We should try that. Pray this week. Lord, break me. I dare you. I dare you. Pray. Lord, break me. Break my habits. Break my pride. Break my selfishness. Break my addictions. Lord, break me. Because actually, we're praying for the blessing, but the blessing comes through the breaking. Isn't that right? The alabaster box had to be broken. before the ointment could come out. Isn't that true? It looked so pretty, but it wasn't doing its job until she broke it. It's when she broke it that that aroma filled the place. It's when God breaks us that he can actually get something good out of us. Do you understand that? Revival starts with a breaking, where we come to God and holding nothing back, where we're not holding on to any bit and say, well, I'm going to give you this much, God, but can I still hold this? Can I still do this? Can I still hold on to this? No, you can't. He says, I am a jealous God. You either give him 100% or go back. Go away. He's not putting up with 99% won't do. It sounds good, but it won't do. God wants all of you. He says he will not share his glory with another. Do you understand that his glory is supposed to reside in us? We experience revival. The beginning of it is repentance. Let's try praying this week. Lord, break me. Because actually we do need breaking. Because if we think we don't, we're just like the Laodicean church. We're telling God, I'm rich. I got it all down. I don't need any fixing. And he's saying, no, you don't. You're naked. I can see you spiritually. We need to be clothed with his righteousness. Amen. How do we experience revival? It starts repentance and a contrite heart. David gives us a great example. Here was a guy who was a murderer, an adulterer, but yet God was able to call him a man after my own heart. Because David, when he repented, Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I own up, I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew, let's say together, renew. We need God to renew us, to wash us, to cleanse us, to set us on a new place. We need to get close to him this month. And not just this month, because the day is approaching. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a free spirit. Amen. That should be our prayer. We experience revival first with repentance, a contrite heart. As I said, this week we should try praying instead of, Lord, bless me. Lord, break me. Break me. Break my habits. Break my corrupt thoughts. Break my pride. Hallelujah. Because it's the broken and a contrite heart that he's going to answer. Isn't that so? The broken and a contrite heart, he's going to answer. That alabaster box was beautiful, but it served no purpose until she broke it. Do you know she broke it? She could have just opened it and poured it. Some of us think we can preserve some of the beauty of what we brought. That won't work. She could have just opened the lid and poured it. But I think the Lord set it up that she broke it. They were all shocked. Why didn't she just pour it? Or better still, just put it upon a shelf. So beautiful. But that was not its purpose. For God to use us, he needs us broken. Amen. That's how revival starts. Revelation 2:5 says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlesticks. I think some of the saddest things in scriptures, when God rejects someone. Samuel, don't pray for Saul anymore, for I have rejected him. There cannot be anything more sad in all of scripture. Can't be anything more sad in scripture when God says he has rejected. When man rejects you, that's not too bad. That's almost good. That means you're not doing what they want. But if God rejects you, that's a sad step. That's a sad place. Amen. Let's not get to that place. I'm encouraging you today. We need to be revived. We need to take a whole new hold on God and say, Lord, I need you today. I'm coming to you with my alabaster jar, but I'm going to break it. I'm going to pour the whole. She didn't just do a little tip. She covered him with the ointment. She gave up a half year's salary. That's how expensive this was, just to anoint him. She made a sacrifice. Now, I'm not talking about money now, but you do need to make a sacrifice of your lives, of your vessel, of your all, of your commitment, of your will. I'm going to give you some six stages of repentance. Number one, we've got to recognize our faults. When Jeremiah tried to prophesy to the children of Israel, they said, we're innocent. We haven't done anything wrong. We're God's people. We're fine. I have not sinned, the king said. Number two, remorse. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. As you've heard, some people are just sorry they got caught. Right? They're sorry they got caught. As I said, repentance isn't tears. That's not what repentance. Repentance is turning around, a change. True repentance is changing. It's not just tears. We can all cry tears. Just start cutting up an onion. That doesn't mean you're sorry about anything other than it's burning your eyes. That's not repentance. And then you have to have a made up mind, resolve. All these things begin with R, if you notice. When the lost son in Jesus' parable came to himself, he'd been defibrillated. He was in a pig pen. And he suddenly made up his mind. Wait a minute. Look at my life. Look where it's gone. Look where my father's house is. The servants live better than me. I don't have to live this way. Maybe even if I was just a servant. You have to have a made up mind. Now that doesn't mean you're going to not stumble a few times, but you have to get back up. You have to run to the house of the Lord. You have to get on your knees and cry aloud. You got to do like blind Bartimaeus, right? They try and shut him up. I love what it says. He cried the more. The more. It's time for us to cry the more. When we see all these things happen, you need to cry out some more. You need to cry out till you feel God has heard your prayer. Now, he's heard you, but he's waiting on you to be desperate. He's waiting on you to give you a bigger miracle. But you got to be desperate. You got to want this thing. Amen. Nobody's cruising on into heaven. It's not. The Bible says that the way to eternal life is straight, meaning it's narrow. And you have to press your way. You got to press your way. Amen. It's like, what's they call it, the day after Thanksgiving at Walmart? Where the people have to press. They're fighting. They're determined to get that, save $3 off of that TV. Man, they'll kill people. You get in my way, right? You got to press your way in. This is not going to be a cruise. Amen. You got to then reform. The fruits of repentance are realized in a changed life. That's the proof of the pudding, as they say, is in the eating. You can say you repent all you want, but if you keep doing the same thing, you're either crazy or lying to yourself. Right? A different life, a new life, a change both inside and outside. I'm talking about revival here. David's psalm of repentance are evidence of this change, as well as the commendation of the future Bible. The Bible says that he called him a man, meaning he had a change. And then number five, restitution. When Zacchaeus was confronted with all the things, how he used to cheat people, he didn't just say he repented, but he says, you know what, I'm gonna restore. I'm going to go back to that person and tell them I'm sorry. There's going to be evidence of repentance, you understand. It's not just saying I repent, but man, that person, they did me so bad. Zacchaeus said this, if I did stole anything from anybody, I'm going to restore it, and I'm going to make sure that they're whole. I'm going to repay them fourfold. If I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. That's true repentance. See, sometimes we can't undo the past. David couldn't go back now and make Uriah come back to life. But he made as restitution as much as he could with God. He made restitution with God. See, the last one, the last R, is rejoicing. Once God has restored you, then you can come with rejoicing. If you have truly repented, real repentance results in restoration. Sins are remitted. Relationships are repaired. Spiritual regeneration is received. And then we can be like David. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. If we understand and we believe that we have been revived, if we believe that we are close to God, you're going to have joy. There's no way about it. I've told you before, if right now you believe that God was looking down on you and saying, this is my beloved daughter, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. If that doesn't give you joy, there's something wrong with you. If you believe right now that God was pleased with you. Now what does the scripture say? If a man's ways what? How does that finish? Amen. Amen. We need to be revived. We need to stop thinking we're okay. I'm never going to stop. This is a journey. We need to get more and more and more of God. Amen. We need more of His love in our life. We need more of His grace. Hallelujah. I'm trying to finish this up. See, how do you get revival? When you seek Him with your whole heart. Jeremiah 29:12. Then shall He call upon me, and He shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I will listen to you. And He shall seek me and find me when He shall search for me with some of your heart. Only on Thursday, corporate prayer once a month. We need to be praying when we get up. Lord, thank you. You've given me a new day. I got some issues coming up. But Lord, I'm just going to commit them to you. I'm talking to God in my car as I'm going. I'm thanking, Lord, you're just so awesome. You're just so wonderful. I just thank you for this day. I don't know how I'm going to get through this day, Lord, but I'm just claiming your blessing. I'm claiming your deliverance. Amen. When you start seeking Him with your whole heart. See, I cannot actually thank God enough. I really can't. When I look back on my life, I can't see anything but good. I really can't. I don't see nothing bad God has done to me. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Any bad stuff has been me. I can't point at anyone but me. All the good stuff has been God. The merciful stuff, the gracious stuff, the wonderful stuff, the deliverance. Sometimes I just break out in smiling. Oh, he just surprises me all the time. The only thing that depresses me is I think, Lord, I'm just not worthy. I'm just not worthy. Listen, when He shall seek me and find me, when He shall search for me with your whole heart, and I will be found of you. Do you understand? If you make up in your mind today, Lord, I want to be closer to you. I want deliverance. God is telling you, I'm going to find you. I'm going to meet with you. Anyone here made an appointment to meet someone at a certain time and place? And they're late or they don't show? God is telling you right now, listen. Me and you got an appointment. Just tell me when, where. I'm going to show up. It's all up to you because I'm here all the time. You can drop in on Him all the time. He says, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. You want God to work in your life? You want things to start to happen? You want miracles to start to happen? You want breakthrough to start to happen? You have to start seeking Him. And I will gather you from all the nations. Now this prophecy applied mostly to literal Israel. But it applies to us because we are the seed of Abraham. And from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place where I caused you to be carried. God is saying, listen, I will redeem you. I'll take you out of your prison. Maybe it's a prison of finances. Maybe it's a prison of sickness. Maybe it's a prison of fear. Maybe it's a prison of doubt. He says, when you start seeking me with your whole heart, I'm going to be found. Who used to play hide and go seek? Hide and go seek. When my kids were small, Christopher, he used to hide behind a door. And I would say, are you in there? He would say, no. No? And I would say, man, I don't know where he is. You sure you're not in there? He'd say, no. But God isn't making it hard for us. It's just we have not sought him with our whole heart. I'm encouraging you, saints, today. We need revival. We want this church to be a place where when people hit that door, they feel a presence. They feel a deliverance. They feel a change. And it can happen. I want this whole house. As I said before, in the day of Pentecost, before it filled them, the Bible said it filled the whole house. We want this whole house to be filled with the presence of the Lord, that when people come in, we don't even have to pray for them. When they hit that door, the presence of the Lord just does something to them. And it can happen. At the preaching of Jonah, a whole city repented. And these weren't even Jews. But they believed that the preaching of Jonah, when he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. You know what they did? They sought. They believed it so much that they stopped eating. They said, we can't have this happen. Our whole city is going to be destroyed. They got serious. I tell you, if the proof of your belief is what you do with it. As I said, if you knew, if God announced in a loud voice, you know, tomorrow at 5 o'clock is the rapture. As I said, most of us would just stay here. We'd be praying, fasting, going around saying sorry to everybody we offended. We'd go down our list of all the things we could clear off our list. We would take this seriously. But because we don't have an audible voice talking to us, we think, okay, I still got some time. And we don't take it seriously. We said, we're okay. We're the Laodicean church. I'm okay. I'm covered. I speak in tongues. I lift my hands. But remember what Jesus said, that our righteousness has got to exceed that of the Pharisees. And it's not by our works, but it's by our humility and love of others. Amen. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray. This one is for me. I confess. Maybe I shouldn't confess, but I'm going to confess to you. I'm extremely selfish in my prayer. Because I think of all the things that God needs to fix with me. So I tend to pray for myself. I'm going to try and pray. I do pray for other people, but I have to force myself. So pray for me. See, confess your faults one to another and pray for another that he may be healed. Sometimes, and this is my fault, I pray for myself. But how did God turn Job's captivity? It wasn't when he was praying for himself. The Bible said it's when he prayed for his friends. Amen. Now, me and my wife, we pray every morning before I leave, and I do call a whole bunch of people's names. But I know in my flesh, I could take that whole time and just pray for myself. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. If you could stand with me. Didn't quite get through this lesson. We are also revived by the word, by what you say, what you declare. Ezekiel is brought to a valley of dry bones, where there's nothing but dead people, dead works, dead situations, no hope situations. And he said, the Lord said, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again, now look at this, again. It means he has spoken to him before. God has spoken to you before. You all, most of you, nothing I'm saying is new to you. Is it? Look at this. He said, again he said to him. God had already told him what to do. But he said, well, I don't know. Can these bones live? Most of what I'm saying today, you've all heard before. I'm letting you know, again, the Lord is saying to you, speak, prophesy unto these bones, unto your dead situation, unto your impossibility. And say, don't think it, say it. People will think you're crazy. Car won't start, go and speak to the car. Lay your hand on the car and say, in the name of Jesus, you start now. You have a sickness, lay your hand on the sickness and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Be healed. See, most of us who have come to church, we've heard this again and again. He said, again. That means it wasn't the first time God had spoken to the prophet, but he was still saying, I don't know. And we're saying, I don't know how my situation is going to get fixed. Well, you do know. God has spoken to you before. He's told you what to do. Oh, we dry bones. Here, 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 here. What the word of the Lord. Revelation 3, it says, he that hath an ear. I want us to hold our ear. I think everybody in here has got one, right? Well, it says, he that hath an ear. That means everybody. Let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. It's revival time. It's time to give 100% and say, Lord, I don't know when you're coming. I don't know when you're coming, but I want to be ready. I want to be so close to you. I want to be filled with the Spirit. On the Lord's Day. We call Sunday the Lord's Day, but really every day is the Lord's Day. I want to be so filled with the Spirit on the Lord's Day. That means every day. That when Satan comes, I can say, he's got nothing in me. He's got nothing in me. He can't take nothing from me because I don't have nothing that belongs to him. I'm so filled with the Spirit. Amen. I'm closing this Sunday school. We need to be revived. We need to stop cruising. We need to take it off autopilot. We need to cut the cruise control. We need to grab the wheel and start directing. Last scripture I'm going to read, Ezekiel 37:13. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. That means made alive. Remember, this is about revival. Made alive. Open the graves. And brought you up out of your graves. A lot of us are in a lot of dead situations. We're in a lot of dead, hopeless situations. Here's what the Spirit is saying. Oh, my people, I brought you up out of your graves. And I shall put my Spirit in you. And you shall live. In other words, be revived. And I shall place you in your own land. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. God is speaking to us today. If you have an ear, you better listen. This is a date that this country won't forget. September the 11th. But as I said, there's a bigger date, a greater date, a great that the universe won't forget. It doesn't have a number yet. I don't know when it is. But it's coming. The first date is where we date everything from. In the year of our Lord, in the Latin Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, September the 11th, 2016. I just want to go back, and I know I'm running out of time, but I just want to go back to the very first scripture that I gave you. Because we are about in the third day. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. Go look this one up. After 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he shall raise us up. And we shall live. Let's say we shall live. We shall live in his sight. I hope that's your prayer today. If you could bow your heads with me. Lord, we just thank you for this word this morning. Father, just anoint it. Let it find good soil. Help us to be revived. Help us to seek you with our whole heart. Let us draw near to you. Hallelujah. With an assurance, oh God, having our hearts sprinkled. Hallelujah. From a guilty conscience, oh God, by your blood. Father, renew us. Give us such a zeal that we will come near to your throne today, that we will sell out.